Morning, Bruce.
All right, well, good morning, everybody. It's not very loud. I'm on. Got to turn it up. Glennis, is that where you're sitting? Is right there? Or are you going to move somewhere else? Check, 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 check. There we go. Oh, he's having another senior moment. You know, you get what you pay for. Well, good morning again, everybody. So we're going to actually start off with some bulletin announcements. Since we're doing communion this morning, I want to get these out of the way so you'll have to remember them. So the first one would be that putting on a Valentine's dinner and movie. And this is the last Sunday to sign up for it. They need to know this Sunday how many, because it's next weekend. So the sign-up is in the back there. So if you're going to do that, make sure you get signed up on that. And then with our construction project going on, our library is going to be closed down for a while, because that's actually where the library is, will be where Diane's new office is. And so that's part of the work they need to do. And so there's some stuff out there that they've kind of gleaned out that are on the shelf that are free. Donations are gladly accepted if you want to give something towards that too. Because there's hope, we'll have a box out. It's back in the hospitality area also to take some offering for them. We'll have it out there this month of February. There's more information there about that. There's the website. But there's a kind of looks like a little house back there. If you'd like to give some towards that, that's Melody Beal, her ministry. The women's Bible study started up Thursday, and then the other one will be starting. It's the same one, but it'll be starting up this Monday night, right? In the church office. That's not a very enthusiastic response.
Yes!
Wasn't sure if I was giving the right information, so it's okay. Let's see. And no second Sunday potluck next Sunday because of the Valentine's thing. And then if you want your giving statement, they're also in the back. And I think that's it for announcements. All right. Let's go ahead and pray. Well, another announcement. So, you know, we've got our building project going on, and most days I pray the guys are safe, you know, as they're working. I never thought they're safe. So Thursday night, someone broke into their trailer and stole a bunch of their tools. As far as they know, the only supplies they took from our stuff was like two rolls of tar paper out of six. So we also have a door missing. So the old door we took out, although that was gone a couple weeks ago. So it's just, anyway. So if you think about it, you know, pray not just that the building would go well, but that God would have his hand on the stuff even. So the Catholic Church was broken into last week. The coffee stand was broken into last week. So it's kind of, you know, it's life, I guess, but It's not good. So if you can remember to pray, that would be great. That, you know, and these guys would get their, maybe even get their stuff back, would be awesome. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. Thank you for just again, we can come here and worship together with you and to you and for you. And just am grateful that you are God. And Father, I thank you for how you supply for us. And I want to pray for our building project for safety as the guys are working, that things will go smoothly, but protection of the stuff too. And we know we've had issues with our clothing closet stuff too, of people taking stuff that's free and they just take what they want and take all of it. And so, Father, we're just asking that you would have your hand on here and that those who are responsible would be found out and that they would suffer the consequences. And so, Father, thank you for being our God. And we know that that's really, in the scheme of life, that's pretty minor, yet it causes a lot of issues. The guy showing up and not being able to work that day and having to wait for the sheriff and just the hours it took. And so, Father, we just ask for your guidance, your direction, your wisdom. Father, I want to pray for our country, too, right now, and just with the new president and all the things that are going on, the Supreme Court nomination, and Father, we just pray your will would be done and that you would work through these public servants and remind them that that's what they are, is their public servants, to move beyond their own personal agenda and really serve the people and our country. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And speaking of politicians, this morning I'm going to be talking about humility. Not that we all don't need humility many times, but we're going to be celebrating communion here this morning, and it just seemed like this message fit in really well with that. Next week we'll be starting a series on Mark, as we'll be working through the book of Mark. So open up your Bibles to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, Jesus celebrating the Passover with his disciples. We're going to be looking at starting in verse 1, and we're going to be kind of working our way through verse 17. So John 13, verse 1 says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, he got up from supper, laid aside his garments, taking a towel, he girded himself. He poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. So he came to Simon Peter, and he said to him, 'Lord, do you wash my feet?' Jesus answered and said to him, 'What I do, you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter.'" And then down in verse 12. "So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, 'Do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord. You are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and teacher, wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you." And then verse 17, "If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." So Jesus, wanting to spend this last really kind of quiet time, a secluded time with his disciples as they celebrated the Passover, as they went into the upper room, and of course, being good Jewish guys, the Passover was pretty significant to them. And you have to think that in Jesus' mind, you know, the Passover, he was the Passover lamb. He is the one that is going to sacrifice himself. And as he's there in this very intimate setting, this probably one last time where it's this intimate, he shares with them, not so much in word, but in action. He comes in, he strips down like a slave would do. He gets out a towel, he gets out the basin, and he starts washing their feet. Now, you have to realize the footwear of the day were sandals. And there was lots of camels and donkeys and You know, so when we're talking dirty feet, we're talking really dirty feet. And I can just imagine that Jesus really scrubbed them. You know, it wasn't just like, you know, pour a little water on and kind of wipe them off. I mean, literally, he washed their feet. He showed them. He, being really the master, was willing to humble himself to wash their feet. It was dirty, nasty work, but he was willing to do it. One of the things that just kind of struck me actually this week as I was looking at this, you know who else's feet he washed? Judas. Knowing what Judas was going to do, and yet he washed his feet. If you read kind of, I encourage you to read kind of the rest of the story in all this. It's very interesting to think about in a Jewish ceremony like this, the Passover, the ceremony, the foot washing really wasn't a ceremony. People sat in specific places. And so I encourage you to kind of read through that story and think about where people were sitting. Where was Judas sitting? Where was Peter sitting? Where was John sitting? It's very interesting to think about that, how close actually Judas was probably sitting to Jesus during that meal. His time was short. He knew that his betrayal and his arrest was coming quickly. And so he left this example. You know, the other thing is, remember Peter, who eventually denied him. Peter puts on this big, oh, you know, no, you can't wash me. And I mean, sometimes I just wonder, I'm sure Jesus bit his tongue many times and didn't say things that he probably could have. I mean, just think about Peter. And yet, Peter was going to end up denying him and eventually coming back. He was going to lay down his life for them, for us. It should have been the other way around. Jesus, the King of Kings, it should have been his disciples, it should have been his subjects who were laying down their lives for him. And yet, he chose to lay down his life for us. John 15:13 says, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. This was the full extent of his love. In Romans 5:6-8, it says, for while we, all of us, were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. We were the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man, someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't say, well, you know, once you guys, you know, kind of get your act together, you know, I'll be willing to die for you. No, he knew even while we were still in our sin, he was willing to die for us because he knew that was the only way the sin was going to be taken care of. Because we couldn't take care of it ourselves. We should be willing also to lay down our lives because Jesus left us that example. 1 John 3:16 says, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren or each other. We also should be willing to lay down our lives for him. Mark 8:35 says, for whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. That not only should we be willing to humble ourselves and lay down our lives for one another, but we should be willing to lay down our lives for him. They were celebrating the Passover. In 1 Corinthians, we see this same picture, it's called the Lord's Supper. We call it communion also. In Luke 22, we see what went on in that Last Supper that he had with him, that last Passover. Luke 22, starting in verse 7, it says, "Then came the first day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. And Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, 'Go and prepare the Passover for us, so that we may eat it.' And he said to them, 'I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer.' And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, 'This cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood.'" The Last Supper, communion, the Passover Supper. He was showing them what he wanted us to do, to remember him. That idea of the body and the blood. And the thing is the disciples still at that point didn't totally grasp what was coming. You know, they're thinking, oh yeah, body, blood, you know, that's kind of a symbolic thing. They didn't totally understand that he was going to give his life, that he was going to shed his blood for them. It's interesting in this, in this same section here, you know, talking about humility, we're going to see a lack of humility. If you skip down to verse 21 in Luke, Jesus, again speaking, says, "Behold, the hand of the one betraying me is with mine on the table. For indeed, the Son of Man is going as it has been determined. But woe to that man whom he has betrayed." And they began to discuss among themselves which one of them might be who is going to do this thing. That's verse 23. And then verse 24, it says, "And there arose also a dispute among them as to which of them would be regarded greatest." Seriously? So here's Jesus, who just got done washing their feet, who humbled himself, washed their feet, and now they're starting to have this discussion about who's the greatest. You know, I think some of it probably had to do with the seating arrangement. But it's just like, holy mackerel. Hello? McFly, hello? But don't we do that? You know, it's like we're chugging along and all of a sudden, it's just like, oh, that's what God meant. You know, we'll be reading God's Word and maybe a spot where we've read over and over and over, and all of a sudden we read it and go, oh my gosh, I've missed this all this time? They were just guys. They were just people like us. But it amazes me how quickly they went into this. Jesus just gets done washing their feet, and all of a sudden they're saying, oh, hey, you know, I got to sit here, and oh, you know, who's, well, what about him, and oh, what about me? And It's so silly when you read it, but yet it's so easy for us as human beings to slip into that. He was going to literally give his body. Give his body, his flesh. He was going to hang on that cross. He was the Passover lamb, the sacrificial lamb, that the whole Old Testament showing the picture of the Passover lamb, the Messiah that was eventually going to come, that this here he was. And yet, even the religious leaders were not getting it. They were even missing it. And he's telling his disciples this. His blood, he says, that's poured out for you. This blood in the new covenant. Now, their ears probably picked up a little bit when he said that, because they would have been very familiar with the covenant. You know, the covenant that God made with Abraham, and here's how it's all going to work. Here's the Ten Commandments. Here's all the law. Here's all this stuff. And then Jesus said, the new covenant in my blood. It's interesting that no one ever asked the question, new covenant? What do you mean new covenant? I think they were too busy trying to decide who was the greatest. You know, that sometimes they just miss stuff. But this new covenant, the old covenant was going to be done away with, and this new covenant, saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. The thing is, that's how they were ever saved, was through faith. Remember what it says, Abraham, the righteousness was accounted to him because of his faith, because he believed God. And then he wanted them to remember, here's what you're going to be doing. And I wonder that next year, when the Passover came up the next year, if they remembered back to that time and thought, oh yeah, what did Jesus say? You know, luckily by the next year, the Holy Spirit would have been sent, so they would have had a little help to remember those things. Because when the Holy Jesus said, when the Helper comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will help you remember what I said. So we have the Holy Spirit. Those of us who have accepted Christ as our Savior, we have the Holy Spirit to help us understand. These guys, initially, they didn't have the Holy Spirit. They hadn't been given the Holy Spirit yet. And so they're still trying to work all this out in their flesh. So Jesus says, remember, every time you do this, remember, my body, my blood given for you. He wanted to remind them. 1 Corinthians 11. Really, not unlike what was going on with the guys in the upper room, the Corinthians are dealing with some of the same issues, this lack of humility. 1 Corinthians 11, 18, Paul speaking to them, says, for in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that divisions exist among you. And in part I believe it, for there must also be factions among you. One comes hungry, one comes drunk. You have no regard for one another. You're not showing any humility. And that's what was going on here. The same thing that happened in the upper room. Be humble. Think of the other person as more important than yourself. So Paul is telling the Corinthian church, you guys are getting it wrong. Where's your humility? Where's the example that Jesus left you to give up yourself, to show humility? It ought not to be this way. Paul goes on to talk about the Lord's Supper. He says, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. The men's Bible study on Monday night, we're going through Galatians, and part of what we've been going through here just lately is this, that whole, what Paul, okay, so Paul was saved, and then the time frame of kind of what he did and where he went and what happened, and it's a little bit confusing, but there was a point where Paul basically went out into the desert and Jesus himself taught him. You know, Paul, who was kind of a few steps above most people, because Paul was probably, he was a Pharisee. He was in that group. So is from a religious standpoint and knowing Scripture, he would have. You know, and of course he had one of those aha moments, you know, where all of a sudden Jesus had to literally blind him for him to go, oh, okay, I get it now. So he spent time, he literally spent time with Jesus, teaching, Jesus was teaching him. And that's what he's talking about here in 1 Corinthians. It says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup in an unworthy manner," go back to the previous part of this passage. What are they doing? They're not caring for each other. It says there's divisions and factions. Some do without, some have plenty. "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup." You know, I'm looking at this passage, and it was kind of an aha moment for me, because I'm thinking, okay, examine himself. Oh, yeah. And, you know, make sure that your relationships are right, and da-da-da-da-da. But you go back in the passage, examine yourself, make sure you're humble. Where's your humility? You know, do you consider others as more important than yourself, like Philippians talks about? Loving your neighbor as yourself? Be humble. Be humble. You know, and that's the thing I think about is, you know, I pray for our president. You know, to have humility. Because leaders can be humble and still lead. Having that attitude of humility. And so I pray that for our leaders. Having that humility in leadership. Because it's not weakness. It's not being a namby-pamby person. But it's being humble within leadership. And he calls us to be humble. We who are his people, to humble ourselves. So have the guys come on up. So as we participate in communion this morning, remembering what Jesus did for us, you know, remembering that he literally gave his body, he literally shed his blood, and that example that he left, washing the disciples' feet, the ultimate humility that he not only showed in washing feet, but his ultimate humility was hanging on that cross. Yet he was still God, and he showed humility. remembering Jesus, remembering his body that he gave for us as he hung up there on that cross, the Passover lamb, the final sacrifice that needed to be made for sin. So take, eat in remembrance of Jesus. And again, Jesus tells us to remember the blood that was shed. That perfect blood that covered sin. And all we need to do is accept that, to believe that, that Jesus died for our sin. So as you take the cup today, drink in remembrance of Jesus. If you want to pass your cups to the center, the guys will pick them up. So, this week as I was kind of preparing for the message today, one of the things that I kind of feel like God impressed upon me was to pray for people. You know, James 5 says that, you know, if you're sick or you've got things going on, to call for the elders to pray. And so I want to give opportunity this morning that if there's anybody that needs prayers, you know, some specific things that are going on in your life and maybe you need some prayer for that, I want to give you opportunity to do that. So if that's what you need, I want you to just come on up front. And if I could have the guys come on up.
the elders. What can we pray specifically for you, Fence?
Specifically, that I will come in line with to do my mission that God has put forth in my life to do.
Okay.
My health and well-being will follow suit.
All right. Father, we just lift up Vince to you, Father, knowing that had some health things come up here lately, and Father, you have seen him through that thus far. And Father, we do. We pray that you would just give him clear guidance, clear vision on what you want him to do, who you want him to be, where you want him to go. And like he said, Father, he knows that if he is in line with you, then things will come along with that. That doesn't mean that things will be perfect, but we'll have that joy in the midst of whatever happens. And so, Father, we lift him up to you this morning and pray that you would help him to just really feel your presence around him. Father, if there's any healing physically, emotionally, mentally that needs to be done, Father, we know that you are more than capable of doing that, and we ask that on his behalf. Father, bring healing in whatever area, spiritually, whatever it is. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, buddy.
You too.
Father, we lift up Jenny to you. And it says if we will humble ourselves and submit to you and resist the enemy, he'll flee. And so, Father, if that's part of what's going on here, Father, I pray that you just help Jenny through your Holy Spirit to submit to you. But, Father, she also was looking for guidance and direction, again, for wisdom. And your word says that we're to ask. If we're lacking wisdom, that we need to ask. And to believe without unwavering faith, that's going to happen. And so, Father, we lift up Jenny to you and pray that, Father, you would show her the direction. You've given her all the things that she needs to make the decision. She has your Holy Spirit, which is plenty. But yet, there's sometimes that still that uncertainty of wanting to do what you want her to do. And so, Father, I pray that you would show her what's that next step. Don't need to see 5, 10, 15 steps down the road, but what's that first step that she needs to take, Father? And would you show her that clearly, without a shadow of a doubt? Would you even confirm that to her this week through other people, through your word, wherever that might come from, Father, that she would clearly see what you have for her to do? And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else?
daughter who's been in really bad pain for a while and can't sleep. And, just that doctors think they have a diagnosis now and that that will be the right thing. The new medicine will help and help for me because I have a responsibility.
Yeah. Father, lift up Shirley to you, her sister, and just so many physical things that, that she has struggled with through the years, Father, and even more things now, and just praying that you will bring healing, Father, that you will help her and for wisdom to know how to care for her, and she has a loving sister who wants to help her and do what she can. And so, Father, I pray that you would help her to know what's the best course of action. And even for her physically, Father, you keep her strong so that she will be able to take care of her sister too. And for wisdom, again, for wisdom to know what the best thing to do is. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I give up.
So, anybody else? Close in prayer. Father, thank you that you are a God who we can depend on. That whatever we're dealing with, whether it be physically or emotionally or spiritually, that you are there. You understand every little part of us. And you care for us more than we can possibly even imagine. And Father, there are times when you will heal. And there are times when you say, my grace is sufficient. Father, help us, whatever it is we're going through, to rely on that grace, whether we're healed or not. Whether things work out the way we think they should or not. Knowing that you're still there. And as James says, consider it all joy, no matter what we're going through, because it really is for our benefit. And it's to bring glory and honor to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Have a great week.